Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and you'll find it on page 26 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Just a word of context here before I get started. Shortly, Jesus is going to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. This is what we've come to call the Last Supper, and he will be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. For now, he continues to teach. Today's parable is one of several about the sudden and unexpected return of someone important. Jesus is trying to help his disciples understand that his time on earth is nearing its end. He's encouraging them to be faithful in his absence, because he will return. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, you have blessed us so greatly. We thank you for all of those blessings. And we ask you not to let us so rejoice in our blessings that we forget who gave them to us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Do you have a talent or a gift for doing something? How did you find out about it? Have you developed it? Is it something you still use? Or did you leave it behind when you changed jobs, or you retired, or the kids left home? The talent referred to in our parable is a weight that measures a sum of money. It was a very large sum. One of my commentaries said, just think of a talent the way you'd think of $1 million. However, the word talent has changed in meaning over time. Now we use it to define a form of giftedness. If we say you're talented, we don't mean you're rich. We mean you're good at something. You have ability. Since we've updated the meaning of talent in this parable, how might the parable itself sound if we gave it a more contemporary twist? Let's see. Once upon a time, not very long ago, there was a servant, a woman who had been raised to follow Christ. She was a talented person, and her life could have gone in many different directions. But she had always wanted to be a nurse, and so that is what she decided to do. It wasn't the easiest path she could have chosen. Admission to nursing school was extremely competitive. Many qualified candidates weren't accepted simply because there wasn't space for them. It was expensive. She had to take out loans to pay for her education. She was bright, but she wasn't brilliant, and the classroom she had to take even before she applied to nursing school was demanding. But she was willing to put in the effort it required. She felt somehow that God was leading her on this path, and she trusted that everything she was investing would pay dividends in the end. Our servant achieved her goal, was admitted to nursing school, and graduated successfully. She found work in a hospital. Her career enabled her to help support her family. It also put her in contact with many, many people, her patients, their family members and their visitors, and other staff. She helped heal her patients. She alleviated pain and suffering and offered encouragement whenever she could. She was a very caring person, and the people she came in contact with realized that. She also wore a cross. The people who realized how caring she was also realized that she was living the teachings of Jesus Christ. They looked at her. They looked at the symbol of her faith. In admiring her and wanting to be like her, they realized they admired Jesus and wanted to be like him. Without even realizing it, she inspired the beginnings of faith in many people, and her faith encouraged the faith of other believers. Her life showed the work of God. As in the parable that Jesus told, you can see the dividends. She had 5 talents. She was intelligent, she was willing, she was caring, and trusting and courageous. She used her talents in such a way that she evangelized with her life. She was a good and faithful servant. Once upon a time, not long ago, there was a second servant, a young man who had been raised to follow Christ. His parents had successful careers as middle managers, but he had always been good at taking things apart and putting them back together. That led him to a career in mechanics. He worked at an auto repair shop, and he was good at his job, which enabled him to help provide for his family. It also enabled him to help others, and this was partly because he had skills that lots of us don't have. I think this is the kind of person who helped me in the days before cell phones when I was driving on I-40 between Albuquerque and Flagstaff and my car gave out. Lots of other cars passed right by. It was hot and windy and dusty, and I did not think I was ever going to get out of there. But this guy stopped, and he did something under the hood of my Volkswagen that took about a minute and a half. Whatever it was, I still do not know, it made it possible for me to get to the nearest town where I could get a more permanent repair. Our second servant helped strangers sometimes, but he also helped the people in his community. He coached Little League. He was a Boy Scout leader. He volunteered to chaperone youth retreats at his church. When his own children grew up and had children of their own, he helped raise them. He didn't take all the credit for being helpful. He told people it was his faith that helped him to help them. Once again, we have a life that embodies the teachings of Christ. Our second servant had two talents, mechanical aptitude and a talent for obedience. When God nudged him to do something, whether it was helping a stranded motorist or helping a friend, he did it. He invested his talents well, and over his lifetime, they paid dividends to God. This man was a good and faithful servant. Once upon a time, fairly recently, there was a third servant, a woman who had been raised to follow Christ. As a child, she had learned how to pray for people in Sunday school. Her family members prayed together too. She liked praying with her family, and she liked praying with other people. As she grew older, people in church would even ask her to pray with them. Some people said she had a gift for it and thanked her for the encouragement that her prayers brought to them. But other things happened that made her less likely to pray. Once in elementary school, there'd been a terrible tornado nearby, and she wanted to say a prayer in class for the people who'd been hurt. She was told she couldn't do that at school. When she went away to college, her roommate had problems with her boyfriend. She suggested to her roommate they pray together, and her roommate said, "Pray about my problems? What good is that going to do?" She was far from her home church, and she didn't really get involved in the student ministries on campus. Most of her friends weren't Christians, but they were nice enough people. She wanted them to like her just as she liked them. They thought it was odd when she talked about her faith, so she didn't. Gradually, she forgot about praying with other people. The only time she prayed for herself was when she had a difficult final exam coming up. And so it went. After college, she found a job in a town nearby, married a nice man, and started a family of her own. But they never seemed to have the time to go to church, and so they didn't. We would not call our third servant wicked and lazy, as the master in Jesus' parable said of his slave. We might say she simply wanted approval in the eyes of the world. That seemed more immediate and more important than the approval of someone whose return had been delayed a long time, even if that person was very important. She was more fearful of what the people around her thought than of what her master thought. She wasn't a bad person. She might yet make a turnaround. She might dig her gift out from where it's buried deep inside in forgetfulness and neglect. But if her master returned today and asked her what dividends she had to give him from her gift of prayer, she wouldn't have much to show for it. She could give back what she'd been given, but in our parable, that isn't enough. There is much that needs to be done in the world in the name of our Master, and doing it requires all our gifts and talents. Jesus' disciples needed encouragement for the hard times ahead when Jesus would be crucified. Even after he was resurrected, he only stayed with them for a short time on earth. He sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to inspire them and to sustain them for the long road ahead. It was enough. They lived lives that proclaimed their faith, and thousands of people joined them. Most of us have already journeyed a long road. Like the first disciples, we don't know how much more of it lies ahead. But God continues to grace us with his love and his care. We truly are a blessed people. As long as we live, opportunities still await each of us to respond to God's love and care by showing care for others. Then our blessings become blessings for them as well. Let's use whatever time we have to use our gifts in God's service. They'll pay dividends when we meet our Master. We want to hear, at the end of our earthly lives, the same words the first disciples hoped to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Master. Amen.